Our text for this morning comes from the 15th verse of that which you read a few moments ago. While they were talking, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. For many of you, the story of Easter is a familiar story. Early in the morning, three of the women of Jesus' entourage went to the tomb in order to anoint his body. They were, in Luke's gospel, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some other unnamed women who were also followers or disciples of Jesus. They were carrying spices. And in the early morning hours, just that time, in that gray area between the night and the sunrise, they saw that the stone that had sealed the mouth of the tomb had been rolled away. And looking into the tomb, they found that it was empty, save for two men who were in radiant, dazzling white clothing. And the two men simply said to the women, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Startled, afraid, surprised, they ran from the tomb. They went back to the 11 and they told the disciples who were gathered together what they had seen and what they had heard. But as is too often the case, the disciples, all being men, dismissed the women as some type of idle tale. The women never did see Jesus. And in many ways, that's our story too. We know the story of the empty tomb, but we do not see the resurrected Lord. Or maybe we do. Maybe the story of the road to Emmaus is really our story. That evening, Cleopas, a follower of Jesus, and another unnamed follower were walking between Jerusalem and Emmaus, the 7-mile journey. And as they were approaching Emmaus, a stranger happened upon them. The stranger asked them what they had been talking about, and they stopped in their tracks, I imagine in my mind's eye, and inquire, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who does not know what just took place?" And then they told the story as they understood it. And then they added a fantastic footnote saying that this morning women went to the tomb in order to anoint the body, but they told us that the tomb was empty save for two angels who ask why they seek the living among the dead. But we dismissed it as merely an idle tale. The stranger began to unfold for the two the story of the prophets in the Old Testament. As they continued on their journey to Emmaus, and as the evening was setting, it appeared to the two that the stranger was not going to stop for the night, but was going to continue to walk. And so they entreated him to stay with them for the night. The stranger had become a guest. The difference between a visitor and a guest is a visitor who's someone that is just passing through that we have no emotional attachment to, but a guest is someone that we invite into our lives and to our homes with whom we are willing to break bread and to share a portion of our lives. And so the stranger, who was now a guest, sat with the two at table. And then at this point, there was another transformation that occurred. The stranger who had been transformed into a guest now became the host. He took the bread that they were about to share. He broke it. He gave it to them. Their eyes were opened. And they suddenly recognized him. And no sooner had they recognized him than the host disappeared from their sight. Their hearts burned within them. Despite the lateness of the hour, they ran back to Jerusalem, the 7 miles back to Jerusalem. And they said to the 11 who were gathered together, "We have seen the Lord." And they said that, "Yes, the Lord is truly risen because he appeared to Simon." I believe we see the risen Lord in the face of the stranger. Years ago, when I was in Ethiopia on a fact-finding mission for our boys' home in East Kenya, in Mombasa, we made a trip in Ethiopia in order to ascertain as to how they ran a similar program. And our host would never let us pay for anything. And when we pressed the issue, they quoted to us a reading from Hebrews from the 13th chapter. They said, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, as if you are ill-treated, since you are the body of Christ." Poets and husband and wife, Gordon and Gladys Dupree, wrote, "Recognizing the stranger as the face of God takes so much suspicion and hostility out of life. Somehow, viewing the stranger as the face of God changes him as well as me. For it is, if I have seen God in him, how can he see less in himself?" Jesus comes to us, I truly believe, in the face of a stranger, in the person who is not like us, who does not look like us, does not speak like us, perhaps does not have the same mores or cultural values as we do. Jesus comes to us in the face of the stranger. And Jesus comes to us whenever we turn the stranger into a guest. In the New Testament, hospitality is referred to as philoxenia, brotherly love of the stranger. And this stands in stark contrast to xenophobia, or fear of the stranger, that is so rampant in our world today. And the gospel lesson, I believe, calls us to see the stranger not as someone to be feared or avoided, but someone to be known. As the stranger on the road to Emmaus opened the eyes of the two disciples to a new understanding, so the strangers who enter our lives open our eyes to a new understanding of who God is and of God's world. The stranger can teach us things that we did not know. They can challenge us to love with a Christ-like love, even when we do not feel like loving. Christ challenges us in the face of the stranger to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked and to visit the sick and the imprisoned, to care for the lonely and the forgotten. In Matthew's gospel, at the 25th chapter, Jesus spoke of the day when the Son of Man shall return to the earth and separate all the peoples of the world as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And on his right hand he shall say, "Come and enter into the glory that has been prepared for you since the very beginning of time. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you cared for me. When I was imprisoned or lonely, you visited me." And those at the right hand will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or naked or sick or in prison and do any of these things to you?" And Jesus said, "When you have done it to the least of these, you have done it also unto me." The risen Lord comes to us most days of our lives in manifestations that we do not recognize. But when we show an act of kindness to the stranger, or when we help somebody in need, We need to see that we are really ministering to the risen Christ. This ministry occurs everywhere. At school, on the streets, in our neighborhoods, at our places of work, in restaurants, in our homes. The story of Easter challenges us to see the stranger on the road as a guest, and as a guest ultimately to a host who breaks bread so that our eyes might be opened. The baptismal font that stands next to me reminds us that each and every one of us is a child of God, that God's love for us is greater than any love that we can imagine, that God's love for us has been given to us even before we knew that there was a God, even before we had words to express our feelings and our thoughts. As the 139th Psalm says, God saw us being knit together in our mother's womb, saw us being formed in the very depths of the earth. God knows the number of our days before one yet existed, and God's love will never let us go. God is with us on the mountaintop when we recognize God, but God is especially with us in the valley, in the very shadow of death, in the deepest, darkest, loneliest places of our lives. God's love will never let us go. But God also goes on ahead of us. The risen Lord as the host, after he had broken bread, symbolized by our communion table, he disappears. The United Methodists, or the Methodists, those of Wesleyan theology, call this prevenient grace. God always goes ahead of us, calling us toward the future. Let the dead bury the dead, Jesus once said. The past is gone, never to be recaptured. We are called to the future, but we are also called to live in the present moment. I believe that we live essentially in an Emmaus world today. We are travelers on a journey. We know the story of Easter. We know the witness of the women. We know the story of the empty tomb. Our Sunday school children even make empty tomb muffins. But do we know the stranger? Do we see the stranger as a guest? And do we know the stranger as our host? We are an Easter people. Emmaus calls us to a new way of life, one that is not captured by prejudices or forces of negativity, or sowing seeds of division among us. We are called to be that little pinch of yeast that transforms the whole loaf. We are called to be those mustard seeds scattered liberally in this world that knows too little love and too little forgiveness. We are called to be purveyors of hope, and we are called to be witnesses in the Jerusalems of our own little homes and communities, in the Judeas of our neighborhoods, in the Samarias of those alien and foreign lands that we may have never seen, as well as to the very ends of the earth. That is the story of Easter. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.